welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to www.nagb.org.bs. And while you're there, you can check out our calendar. We always have a ton of things going on at the National Art Gallery. We have movie screenings that are free. They happen at least once a month, if not twice. We often have artist talks. We have all kind. We have Women's Wednesdays. We have all kinds of things. So go to the calendar, see what's happening. 9 times out of 10, it's free. Occasionally, we do things like every quarter where there's, you know, a big band and stuff, and that is regular admission price. It's still pretty cheap for a night out. When we do Friday Night Live, the next one is January 25th. For the price of admission, which is $7, you get an awesome band and you get free drawing classes and a workshop and all kinds of stuff. So overall, the National Art Gallery is a pretty awesome place to hang out. There's a lot going on. So we encourage you to check it out. And there's things for adults, there's things for kids. So, you know, it can be family friendly. It can also not always be. Some of the artwork in the National Exhibition does have mature content. So if you're thinking about coming with your kids, you might want to speak to someone in the shop or one of our curators about which rooms to avoid. If you are an adult, I still would encourage you to go look at those things. A lot of the themes that are brought up in the National Exhibition, you know, are difficult subjects. A lot of them are to do with you know, understanding each other better and maybe being a little bit more generous with each other in terms of allowing differences or trying to understand different kinds of motivations. Some of the work is dealing with, you know, a complex relationship with the tourism industry. Some of it's dealing with the legacy of slavery. So some of the work can be dealing with tough subjects. The two artists we're talking with tonight, Sydney Colby and Letitia Pratt, who is now considered an artist. I'm officially dubbing you an artist on this show. Because you are one of the participating artists in the National Exhibition. You both deal with things to do with women, basically. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's kind of like a pretty basic question. Like, we're women. We obviously care about women's issues. But you know, why that and not something else? I mean, there were so many other things in the open call to respond to, right? There were things to do with the environment, like maybe dealing with issues with the environment, how the world around us is kind of changing. Why for you was that the thing that you felt, you know, the compelling need to speak to? They're both looking at each other like, you go first, you go first. Sydney, you go first. Only because Letitia had to talk in the last segment. So
lucky. But for me, like I said in the earlier segment, that's just where I was at the time. Like, yeah. That's what I was focusing on.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't feel that the other things were important.
Yeah.
That's just the one I had the most focus on at the time.
Yeah. But also, you know, you're 25. So you said, you're coming, you know, you're reaching that phase where you really become yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And you did that through some pretty crazy times in this country because maybe some people don't think it's crazy. So again, like, I'm always willing to listen to the other side. But we are, I think, one of the two countries in the Western world where women are not equal in the Constitution.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's something as young women you're having to kind of grow up and face. And I'm not sure, when I was your age, it was something that was so kind of discussed, right? Mm-hmm. It was sort of assumed, things were assumed. And while we went and lived in other places and saw changes happening at home, things have appear to have stagnated. So I would imagine, how was that in terms of your own kind of development as young women and artists? Letitia.
How was that in my development as an artist?
Well, I mean, again, just, you know, is that...
It was annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Was it
something that you felt you would have been so vocal about, is I think my question, in your artwork before the referendum? Was it something... Because I think, like, when I've spoken to a lot of younger people, there seems to be a kind of before and after mentality, mm-hmm. in a way, of, like, how we thought about ourselves.
No, I think, I've always thought about how I factor in to society. I mean, mm-hmm. I've always had to contend with it, especially because I grew up in such a religious household, and I can see how it might be constricting in some mm-hmm. ways, and me not understanding that when I was younger, mm-hmm. and see how that affects the larger society. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. One, like your work, we spoke to that, kind of has a lot of natural elements in mm-hmm. it, and I think it's difficult to look at it and not think about the fall and the Garden of Eden and all those things, because that's the kind of the imagery that we think about when we think about, like, when we talk about paradise, right? So often, for those of us that were brought up in a very Christian household, it's very difficult to not tie the idea of paradise to Eden somehow. Yeah. And living in this quote-unquote paradise, and then these ideas of womanhood. So I think that's something that comes across very strongly in your work. Do you think that's something that was kind of working when you were gathering the materials, and when you found that dead snake in the road? why was it so important for you to have the snake?
Snakes are symbolic of women.
Mm-hmm. But are they?
Yes, they are. I mean, sometimes people think of it as a phallic symbol. Mm-hmm. But snake is often associated with Eve. Mm-hmm. It's associated with like old folkloric gods, mm-hmm. Women, female gods. And it's probably why it's demonized in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted at least the snake skin. I really wanted the snake to be... One, I wanted it to be dead and look creepy because mm-hmm. we're killing, I don't know, femininity.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to, I just, what was, I forgot what I was
saying. Yeah, no, I mean, that you answered the question, which is like, why the snake?
Yeah.
And obviously for you, it has like a really powerful symbol.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's a powerful thing to say, that as a young woman growing up, you feel like, femininity is being killed or being demonized. And I think, Sydney, your work speaks a little bit to that, too, because your work speaks to, like, being brought up and being taught to always put yourself second.
Yes. Yeah. yes. That was something that, coming from a religious household, like, you always were taught to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And Christ is... in Western culture, like the biggest example of love, but also very self-sacrificing. Like he mm-hmm. literally gave his life for the humanity. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that's what they're telling you to aspire to be the model for whatever reasons. And I just don't feel like we should continue the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling like I have to die, or that I have to give so much of me for somebody else. And also, like, even if that is something, at least presently, let me say that, mm-hmm. because it's almost like in the airplane, secure your mask before you secure the mask of others. It's just like, how can I help you if I haven't put mm-hmm. on my life raft yet to get through what mm-hmm. is this life, so that's what I'm dealing with, the self-love and everything. But mm-hmm. my work is also like pretty like in your face
mm-hmm.
and pretty unapologetically feminine. And it's just like when you brought up, like, after the referendum, like, it was hurtful, but it wasn't shocking.
Exactly.
I think that's what that was. Yeah. I think for all of us, it was. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that was the thing that was the most of the wake-up call, was how unshocked we were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you're just going to say it blatantly to my face.
Mm-hmm.
Then if anybody has seen me like as a person, like I'm covered in tattoos, like visible tattoos and stuff. So I've lived a pretty unapologetic existence in my femininity for mm-hmm. that reason. It's just like, well, I already know how you feel. You're just going to have to see how I am and deal mm-hmm. with it, because that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So with my work, like, I want to be unapologetically feminine and also speak to the women, like, because they need somebody in the corner to be like, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, however I decide to vocalize it, some people might be opposed to how I did it, which is fine. You're entitled to that. But just...
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we actually have to learn, is that everyone's entitled to their opinion. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, again, mm-hmm. it's something we deal with, because, of course, we also do things that upset people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to my team, like, you have to allow them also to be upset.
Yeah.
Because everyone is... actually allowed their opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you might disagree, but...
Yeah.
And that's the hardest...
I feel like you're entitled to feel what you feel, because you can't control it. But you can control how you react to it. So sure. once you're not offensive or hurtful or anything like that, like, I feel like it's fine. You could be mad. Just don't...
Mm-hmm. Don't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Don't hurt anybody mm-hmm. in the process. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to look at some of the other works in the show?
briefly, I need to go back, actually.
I need to go back.
I need to
go back. No, only because, again, the opening was chaos. So, first of all, I really should have started with that, just to thank the 550 people that came out to the opening. It was amazing. Yeah. And we even had a preview the night before, and we had 75 people there. Oh, so, actually, like, in 2 days, we had, 600 people seeing that show, which is really amazing. And I'm hoping people will continue to come back. But it was really striking to me how much of the work was kind of about, women's place. Like, so many people are struggling with that. And men, too, also struggling with, not struggling with women's place, but their own place. And, questioning sort of, again, historic perceptions of masculinity and femininity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we might need to do to change those perceptions. Yeah. So... I think that's really, really interesting. That's kind of, such a strong topic in generally we have artists that are in the show that are my age and above. So it's not like it's all, 25-year-olds, but it's really a topic that from young to old seems to be, kind of, and I think it goes back to that question of like, who are we, right?
Yeah.
Who are we?
Yeah.
As Bahamians and what do we want to be kind of growing up?
Yeah. Patriarchy is toxic for everyone.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. So, yeah. For men,
I know what you want to say, but I tell my husband all the time. I'm like, if I'm like railing against the patriarchy, I'm not railing against you, right?
Exactly.
Because it messed you up too.
Exactly.
And
they feel pressure to be a certain
way, to act a certain way,
and it's not healthy for anybody. It's abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what's interesting, because I know people are going to ask why. I think a question we try to answer at the National Art Gallery when we're looking at work is why should that be on the national platform, right? Because we're not a private art gallery. We're not the Curran or Dungalik or the Diego Art Foundation. So we have kind of a responsibility too. And I think that all of these questions tie back into ideas of nationhood as well, because this singular idea of what it is to be a Bahamian woman or a Bahamian man are also can be quite damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you have... struggled with as individuals, like growing up, it's this idea of Bahamianness and how you fit in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Like, believe it or not, the amount of times that I've had people walk up to me and be like, hey, are you Bahamian? I'm like, yeah, I am. And I know that you probably have experienced that being a white Bahamian.
Like, but, 5 times a day. But I think it's interesting that it happens to, Bahamians of African descent too. And it's when you start to diverge from the kind of typical, right? The typical image. And so, you're a super funky dresser. Like, people might think you're from New York or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it happens to friends of mine. I got a guy who lives at our house and he's like, yeah, because I wear like fashionable suits, people make assumptions about my sexuality, and things like that. So is that something you have found difficult at all, Letitia, in growing, like ideas of like fitting in to?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think everybody does.
Well, I think everyone does to a certain degree. I mean, we all do when we're teenagers, right? And no one thinks they fit in. But I think, again, like as a national institution, kind of a lot of the issues we struggle with are like, we're nation building and identity has a lot to do with that. And and how do you create a narrative that ties everyone together, right? But isn't exclusionary. And that's a real challenge.
Yeah. You guys did a great job, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I think so. Like, what I did get to see, because I did spend a lot of time like sneaking in beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
You guys did an excellent job with that exhibition, I must say.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Was there anything that you can think of that struck you or?
I forgot her name.
That's okay. Which work?
It's in the ballroom with the trees, the printout of the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna Chaplin.
God. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she responded more to ideas about the environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything stand out for you?
I'm always, always, always floored by April Bay's work.
Yeah. And again, that also has to... April Bay's work's outstanding, which also has a lot to do with, it ties back to womanhood as well, right? Mm-hmm. In a different way, but very much so, like, ties back. So again, like, when I go through that show, I see this kind of undercurrent of again, like, that being the biggest issue. Do you think, like, there should be another referendum anytime soon?
I can't make that call.
Think it's going to take another 10 years?
I'm not a political analyst. I don't know these things.
So what do you hope to achieve with your work? Do you hope to achieve anything? When someone engages with your work,
I want them to understand pain and the hurt that I feel as a woman when we disregard us and disregard people in general that are, I don't know.
That are marginalized.
Yes. I want them to understand that. Yeah.
Sydney, same question for you. What would you like people to come away with when they've engaged with your work at the NE9?
Actually, I think I didn't even expect for this to happen, but it happened at the show. I had two groups of people. It was one, it was a woman, black woman, who said how much my work spoke to her, especially after she read what it was about. But then it was two guys who came, and they were just like, when I read your prompt, like, as soon as I saw it, I got that it was about self-love. They figured out it was two me's, or two versions of myself.
Clever.
But after they read it, there's like, that just resonated so hard with them, like, the need to stop belittling yourself and being self-deprecating and actually learn to uplift yourself, and that is not even a bad thing to do. But it was just that people feeling that they had somebody that they could connect to in this struggle or in this journey. Let me not call it a struggle. In this journey. And then being encouraged to continue to keep going, you know, getting on that level of self-love. Like, working at the current, we have resident artists, one of which being Toby Lunn. And he came to me after the show. He's just like, yeah, man, Sydney, that self-love thing, like, I'm still working on it, but good on you. Like, I feel like a lot of people are feeling the encouragement that they need to keep on going. Because, like, it's important, like Letitia is allowing people to feel pain or to understand it. And I also feel like afterwards they need to not just sit there. And a lot of artists, I think, have people stew in the sorrow and in the pain. It's hard to make people feel love or make them feel, like, you know, good about themselves. You know, I think that's important work. Not only for other people, but, like, for yourself. Like I was telling my my roommate, I find that too many people abandon their obligations to self-healing. They just, like, throw it to the side, like, oh,
yeah, I'll deal with it later. There's always something more important to do, sure. And we all struggle with that. Like, when you got, like, you know, kids and a job and whatever, you always put yourself last. And I think, again, I think, you know, I'd like to maybe close out, but because you said something, like, you know, just by telling those stories, you touched on something important, which is that ideas of equality and feminism are not about women only, right? It's about men too. And I think it's great that men read that in your work, because, you know, we can only speak to our experience as women in this world. But, you know, Letitia, you said it as well, which is, you know, the patriarchy did a number on everybody, right? So I think that's what's misunderstood very often when women start to speak about their pain, is that it sounds like it's just all about us and we only care about women. And I don't think that's the case. Most feminists I know care deeply about the men in their lives and that these ideas of valuing ourselves, in your case as people of color, in our communal cases as women, but then also men, like, have to learn to value themselves, right? And I think we live in a particular place where, you know, that's been a struggle for many, many reasons. So I really commend you both. I know it was hard for you to come on the air. I know it was probably also difficult to share some of those very private thoughts and feelings, like, with the world at the National Art Gallery in your work. So I'd like to thank you both for sharing with us and hoping that will, like, bring us all to a better place.
Thank you, Letitia Pratt.
Thank you, Sydney Colby. Two young artists, writer and visual artist, but also many other things that I think are going to continue to be important members of our society, and that took that leap to answer the call and speak about issues that Holly was asking artists to speak about, which is, you know, really, how can we be a better society? Right? That's basically what it comes down to. How can we be kinder to each other and ourselves and be a better society? So I encourage people to come out and see what all of these Bahamian artists had to say. Some of the artists are people living and working here and are not Bahamian nationals, but are connected to this country in a very deep way. And so I'd really encourage the public to come out and see the show and, you know, specifically read the artist statements next to the work and really try to engage with some of the thought process. Artists have a way of looking at the world which is different to the rest of us, and sometimes honing in on something that needs to be considered. So I'd really encourage everyone to come out and see that show. We are open Tuesday through Sunday, Tuesday through Saturday. There is a fee at $7 for Bahamian adults and $5 for students and seniors, and free always for children under 12. But on Sundays, as I continue to say, it is always free, always, every Sunday from noon to 5, we're open. So I encourage all Bahamians to come down and take that opportunity to share in your visual culture. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to The Blank Canvas. Listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, I thank you for listening and wish you a very good night.